What a joy to be in church. Thank the Lord for the blessing. And my, we have heard some great preaching. I appreciate God speaking to our hearts. Thank you, brother. In so many ways, helped us. I appreciate my wife and myself getting the opportunity to come be with you here at Island Ford. And I appreciate your pastor. And he did say we're from the same county. We are. And man, all these stories today has brought us back to Wilkes County, North Carolina. And dear, the things that's happened in our life, and I appreciate that. Way back in 1990, that's a long time ago for me now, but I surrendered, brother, to the call to preach. God started dealing with my heart about preaching the gospel, and I said exactly what most of you preachers said. Lord, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I won't do that. But now 34 years later, I'm doing that for the glory of God, and I appreciate the Lord. But I remember back in 1991, I don't recommend this, but in 1991, after surrendering in 91, I started pastoring my first church. I don't recommend that at all, but I did. And one of the names that I heard was Brother Plato Shepherd, a man doing a great work for God and serving the Lord in missions and doing a great work. And that stuck with me all those years, that dear man of God. I've prayed for him many, many times. I'm amazed at how God lets us come back around, don't you? And put us back together with people that we've known for years and years and years. I appreciate that. And way back there in years ago in Wilkes County, I won't take but a minute, in Wilkes County, North Carolina, I never dreamed that the Lord would put me where He has me now. Yeah. Never imagined that. Never thought that would happen in my life. Matter of fact, just a few years ago, the pastor of the Maryville Baptist Church, who was there till he stepped down 55 years, he called me one day in South Carolina where I was pastoring, and he said this to me. He said, "Brother, when are you moving to Kentucky?" I said, "What do you mean, brother?" He said, "I'm going to step down one of these days, and the church needs a pastor." And I said, "Brother, I'm not moving to Kentucky. I'm staying right here in South Carolina until Jesus takes me home." You never know what God might do with your life. And God began 2 years ago to really deal with my heart about that. And it took Him 2 years working in my heart to realize that He had a plan for us. And I appreciate the Lord doing that. And it amazes me that some old preachers from Wilkes County, North Carolina, would meet back up again in Kentucky. I appreciate God doing that and working in our hearts. And I appreciate the dear pastor here and his family. And just a short note, we're going to the book of Luke chapter 10 if you want to be turning. Luke chapter number 10. Just a few years ago, many years ago now, our son is 31 years old. But many years ago, at the age of 7, he knelt in the living room floor of our house and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And then several years later, when he turned 18 years old, he came to me and said, "Daddy, God's calling me to preach, I believe." And I didn't get down on my knees with him that day and say, "I thank God for that, son." But I said, "Let's pray about it. Let's ask God about it." And it was a year later when my son came back to me and said, "I know without any question God's calling me to preach." And then God called him to preach, and then he moved away from us for several years. And then just this year, the Lord blessed us to come back together here in Louisville, Kentucky. And God's blessed him and his precious wife to be with my wife and I and serve at the Maryville Baptist Church. And I appreciate God doing that. And I just give him the glory. He's the one that deserves it all. And I appreciate God letting us labor together in these days. My people need the Lord, don't they? How people need Jesus. Luke chapter 10, if you're physically able, would you stand with us in honor of the Word of God? I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture. And this is what God directed my heart to. And I pray that in these few minutes it speaks to your heart as it already has mine these days. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. The Bible says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answered and said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' He said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Father, we thank you for the privilege to share your word this morning. I pray you'd bless and meet every need right now. Speak to our hearts. I pray you'd challenge us from the Bible. Help us, God, in these days to be soul winners. So many around us need Jesus, and I pray, remind us of that once again this morning. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for the word of God. I pray you'd have your will and way in all that's done. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing with us in honor of the word of God. I want to take these very familiar verses for just a few minutes and preach on rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. Most of us know this account very well. We're familiar with what the Bible's saying here, and so we've read it many times. Many, many lessons have been taught, and many messages preached on the Good Samaritan. Jesus is answering a lawyer here, and he's answering a certain lawyer. Don't you remember that word? He's answering a certain lawyer here about eternal life. Specifically this, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's what he's asking in the scriptures here. And Jesus did something. He answers the question with more questions. I feel like if Jesus can do that, I ought to be able to do that. When somebody asks me a question, I'll be able to ask them a question and share something with them from the Word of God. Here's a man who knew the law. At least he believed he knew the law of the Lord in verse 27. And the lawyer could quote law concerning loving the Lord with all his heart. He could do that. He said, I know what it says. But it's the part down at the last part of verse 27 that stands out with Jesus. And it's the loving thy neighbor part. Where he said, thou shalt love and thy neighbor rather as thyself. And that's the part that Jesus zeroes in on. And he begins to speak to this man about that love for his neighbor. And that's where we get this story in the Word of God. Now we know on the authority of God's Word this morning, there's only one way for sinners to be forgiven. There's only one way for man to be saved, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross for the sins of mankind. And listen, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We know that is the only way of salvation, and we preach and teach that all the time. But what makes us good Samaritans this morning is the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. The Bible says in Romans 5, and verse number 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now think about this. No one here today can give eternal life. None of us. As a matter of fact, we do not have the ability on our own to rescue the perishing. What are you saying? But as a born-again child of God, as one who knows Jesus as your personal Savior, we have, first of all, the Word of God. And with the Word of God, we've been given a lifeline. We've been given an opportunity, if you will, to lead the lost soul to the very one who can give them eternal life, who can save them from their sins. Men, women, boys, I believe men, women, boys, and girls. have the privilege to take the gospel and lead somebody to Jesus. We have the privilege to open the Word of God and share the good news that Jesus saves. Now listen, hey, we can't save them, but we can seek them out. We can search them out. I think about the scripture that says, woe unto them that are at ease. Boy, in these days, you know what's happening? Churches rather exist in our communities with no care. Churches are existing in our communities with no care for the half dead. And that's what's in this scripture. The half dead. And churches exist today with no care for the lost soul, but to rescue the perishing. We must first get past self and get past us and see there's a great need out there. There's a need. We must get past religion if we expect to see people come to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31. The Bible said, and by chance, there came a certain priest. There's another certain man. There came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite. And hey, we have to get past religion. It seems today that the religious crowd walked by this half-dead man without any concern for the injuries in his life. But can I say today, in this day, in 2024, that there are men today who are very religious, but they're walking every day by dead men or half-dead men. Some of those half-dead men are walking into their churches and nobody ever gives them the gospel. Think about it. Hey, to rescue the perishing, we have to get past self. I believe we need more men in this day who are broken over the fact that sinners are perishing. Here's a man who is half-dead. What does that mean? He's alive physically, but he's dead spiritually. And that's a half-dead man. He needs help. The greatest help we could ever give a lost soul is to tell them about Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching something you don't know, but I'm just reminding us this morning, what an opportunity that God has given us to spread the gospel. And in these days when everybody says the world is about to fall apart, I say, let's stand for Jesus and just spread the gospel, and you'll never know who might just come to Christ. Listen, seems to, here's the man half dead. He's alive physically and dead spiritually. He needs help. The greatest help we could ever give a lost soul is to tell them about Jesus Christ. Give them the greater need. There's a great mission field around us today, and many around us do not know the Lord. They're perishing in their sins. And we need to remember, this is a whosoever gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That, hey, I'm glad it included me, aren't you? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, or in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The priest and the Levite represent the law. The Bible says what the law could not do, Jesus can do. Hey, Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do, how? Why? In that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We know this about the law. It wouldn't save the sinner. They didn't have the power, if you will, to wash away sins. The lost soul may know we like them today. And they may know we like them as a friend, but they'll only know we love them when we give them Jesus. When we share with them Christ. When we let them know that they need to be saved. Think about it. Religious works and morals, we've heard it all this week, the days I've been here, cannot save the soul. Man, did you notice we're turning around today in many places where that folks are now saying you can get to heaven by your works. And years ago, that kind of got pushed aside. But it's coming back to the forefront now. That if you'll just do this in the church, if you'll just be a good person in the church, if you'll just be good morally, somehow you'll get to heaven. It don't work that way. We know it don't work that way. Hey, but that religious works and those things will never get or save the soul. I won't step into glory one day because I preach this Bible. But it'll be by the blood shed on Calvary's cross for my sins and yours. Listen, I'll hurry, but listen, there's five quick things that I want to share from this passage of Scripture. What can we learn from the Samaritan? The Bible says in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, saw him, and had compassion on him. Now, what can we learn from this Samaritan? Number one, he located the dying man. He located the dying man in verse 33. The Bible says, as he journeyed, he came where he was. He came to him. Why do we knock on doors? Because they most likely are going to never come to you. And so you're going to have to go to where they are. He came to him. He came to where he was. Notice the Bible again says a certain Samaritan. You know what that makes me think of? I see a certain Samaritan. You see the lawyer, he was a certain lawyer. And that certain lawyer was a whosoever will. But that certain Samaritan here is a whosoever will go. Because he's willing to help. God didn't say here it takes different people or special people. But God's simply saying here, I can use anybody at any time who's willing to surrender their life fully and just lay their life in my hands and say, I want to be used by God. Amen. Listen, so this, hey, God can use any of his children at any time to reach a dying sinner. Did you know we're not given the name of the Samaritan? His name's not listed. Was that important? Yes, I believe it is. Why is it important? Because, hey, you don't have to have a big name. You don't have to have a big position. Hey, when people hear my name, they say, I don't know him. That don't bother me. And some of them that do know me probably wish they didn't know me. But it don't bother me. It's not about my name. Or it's not about your name. We're not given the name of Samaritan because the position or the name didn't matter. The word certain just means any man or every man. So the Lord can use any saved person to be a witness for him. Hey, when the Samaritan saw the dying man, he immediately went to his side. Notice, a missionary goes across the world. Now, today, going across the world may be a foreign country. But boy, there's a great need right here in our own country, is there not? And so when we think about going across the world, it's just not that everybody has to cross an ocean. And I realize that great need is there as well. But what great need there is all around us for somebody to take the gospel to the world. And when you look at that, listen, hey, a missionary goes across the world to locate the people that need the Lord. But the same is true for the local church. The local church. And we're called by God to take the gospel outside the door of the local church and locate those who are lost in sin. Locate those who are on their road to hell. Locate those who are dying in their sins. The Samaritan heard the cries of the dying man and he located him. Well, there's a lot of people crying today. My wife and I decided we'd go to Cracker Barrel this morning. You ever go to Cracker Barrel? She said, let's go to Cracker Barrel and eat breakfast. I said, okay. So we sat down in Cracker Barrel. And when we sat down there, I thought, man, this is going to be a nice, peaceful breakfast. There was probably 10 kids in there screaming their heads off. So, I mean, it's early in the morning, and they're yelling to the top of their lungs. My wife said, what's going on? I said, lack of discipline's what I think. But it made me think sitting there. There's a lot of people crying today. There's a lot of people crying for help today. They're crying for somebody. They're crying for something. They're seeking help somewhere. They may choose it in the world. They might try to find it in the things of the world. But what they need, somebody to tell them about Jesus. Hey, he went to, he located the dying man. Number two, he loved the dying man. verse 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. He loved him. He loved the dying man. He had compassion on him. That means that he moved. He was moved when he saw him. Can I say this? When you're sold out to the Lord, unsaved souls will stir you. They'll stir you. It's one thing to have an established church building in a community, but it's something completely different when the church has a heart and a church has compassion for souls that need to be saved. The local church is where it needs to be with God. The church will be active. Active in winning souls. Be active in sending missionaries across the world to make sure the gospel's given. We go out on visitation at Maryville and usually take a couple of buses. And when we do, I don't have just adults that go with me, but little children. Little children. And hey, it excites my soul to see the excitement on their faces when they say, let me help, preacher. Let me help. Give me some of those packages and let me help. And they'll walk with my wife and I and they'll take the gospel and they'll ring doorbells and they'll walk up to people and they'll spread the gospel. Hey, get that generation to love it, telling somebody about Jesus. He loved the dying man. The word compassion means the Samaritan was moved with sympathy. And we too are moved today with sympathy toward the lost when we realize it's only because we heard of the grace of God. Somebody told me. Way back there in Wilkes County, North Carolina, somebody told me that I needed Jesus. Somebody helped me to see that I was lost in my sin and I needed Jesus. Hey, our choir, youth choir at the church sings a song. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Hey, why am I not going to hell? Hey, because of Jesus Christ tonight. Because, sir, this morning. Because somebody told me about Him. Somebody cared enough. I pray that God helps us to care in these days. When the men and the women and the boys and girls step up in church, I believe this, when the men step up, it makes the women get involved. And when the women step up, the children want to get involved. It makes everybody get involved in the Word. Everybody get excited about the work. Hey, and it's been said already, we need working men, do we not? In the house of God these days. Men who love Jesus and have a compassion for souls. Years ago, and this has always been in my heart, God, when he called me to pastor. And hey, I don't feel like I'm an accomplished pastor. I don't feel like I've figured it all out. Matter of fact, I've done it long enough now that I feel like I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I've pastored a long time. And as I look back over the years of pastoring, that's what God has called me to do. But I realized when I got involved that there's work in pastoring. There's work involved. And it's different than the work I thought. I thought the work would just be studying and praying and preaching and going out and visiting. But I didn't realize it included carpet and toilets and everything, building. And hey, all of it, working on all of it. All the time. But what a privilege to do something for the Lord. Amen. What an honor to do something for Him. He loved the dying man. Number three, and I'm moving quickly. He loved the dying man, but He labored for the dying man. Look at verse 34. The Bible said He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He labored for the dying man. No, he couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't make a difference in his life. He labored for the dying man. He went to him. How will they know if we don't go? How will they know? The Samaritan didn't look on the man and walk away. He didn't feel sorry for the man and do nothing about it. But he cared so much for the man that he bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine. He offered help and relief to the dying man. Can I say today, we may not be much, but we have so much to offer the sinner.
That's right.
Hey, thank God for His Word. Aren't you glad that years and years ago, it happened in my heart and no doubt in your heart years ago, that God nailed down that this is the true Word of God. And that we have the opportunity to take a King James Bible and tell somebody about Jesus. And that we can do it with authority from the Word of God. Not because we're special, but because He's special. Because He's real. Listen, He labored. He labored for the dying man. Hey, we have so much to offer. We have the oil of the Holy Spirit, the balm that will change the life forever. We have the wine of joy that every sinner can experience in Christ. Notice it takes, again, works. Work. This Samaritan, he had to put forth much effort. If this man's going to get help, he had to put forth much effort. He had to work at what he was doing. He had to labor at what he was doing. Reaching out to the lost takes labor. It requires sweat. It requires getting out of your comfort zone. I don't know about you, but see, the first time the Lord ever began to deal with my heart about preaching, surrendering to preaching, I said no. I said that a minute ago. But I remember way back years and years ago, I grew up in a little church by the name of Bethany Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. By the way, in that church, they never mentioned missions to me. It was never brought up. I didn't know anything about missionaries. Not until I heard people like Brother Plato Shepherd serving God on the mission field. I didn't know anything about it. I'm glad God since then has nailed that down in my heart. But I remember growing up in that church, and you could ask my wife sitting back there. I was the quietest, shyest, least talking person in the entire church. And one Sunday, they had, of all things, they had teacher elections on Sundays ever so often, once a year. And they said, we need an adult Sunday school teacher. I was probably 19 years old. We need an adult Sunday school teacher. And somebody over there on this side of the church said, we nominate Brother Eric Caudill to be the adult Sunday school teacher. And I said, what in the world? They just say, have you lost your ever-loving mind? I don't stand in front of people. I don't open the Bible and teach. That may not be you. You might have been all fired up to go, but I didn't. Right. Not me. I'm not going to do that. But for a year, I stood up there in front of that Sunday school class and taught Sunday school. Right. What'd you do, preacher? I had no idea what I was doing. I just taught Sunday school. Yep. But through that time, God began to deal with my heart about preaching the gospel. About sharing the Word of God. And as God began to do that, I thought, Lord, how can you use somebody like me? And it takes getting out of your comfort zone and going places you never dreamed God would send you and doing things, God, you never thought God would ask you to do and be in places where you never thought, you never dreamed God would want you to be. Hey, but God can use men who just surrender all to Him. Lord, I'll go. My brother-in-law, which is Dr. Scott Caudill, is another story because we're all Caudills. I'll explain that to you if you want to ask. But he always said this. He's always said this. He said, you may not ever be a missionary on the mission field, but you always, always should be willing to get on the altar and surrender to it. Just lay it on the altar and say, God, if you want me to go to the mission field, right here I am. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do that. God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to change path and course if you want me to change. Amen. Listen, he labored for the dying man. Did you know reaching out to the lost, it requires our flesh doing things it don't like to do. It is certain in our day that most sinners do not come to you, but you go to them. You go to them. He labored for the dying man. Quickly, number four, he led the dying man to a good place. You look at verse number 34. The Bible says, and he went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He not only labored for him, but he led him to a good place. Led him to a good place. The Samaritan was willing to place the man on his own beast and take care of him. We see somebody get saved. It's a great time of rejoicing. Yes, sir. Back in youth camp this year at the church, our youth pastor told me two or three months ago, he said, pray for little Jack, his son. And little Jack's 7 years old. He said, pray for little Jack. He said, he's talking to me about being saved. He said, I don't know if he understands it all yet or not, but he's talking to me about it a lot. Boy, there wasn't many Sundays that little Jack wasn't in the altar at the church during invitation, and his daddy praying beside him, and they'd get up and walk back, and they'd get up and walk back. And then during youth camp, Dr. Alan Barker was preaching in our youth camp on a Saturday night. And Friday night, little Jack had been up on the altar again. And then on Saturday night he came, and his daddy got beside him. And I saw his daddy spending some time with him. And his daddy said to me after little Jack got saved, he said to me, he said, Daddy, hey, Jack looked at me and said, Daddy, I'm ready. I know what I need. I need to get saved. I need to give my life to Jesus. Hey, it's worth it. It's worth it. Preacher, hey, they don't just get saved automatically. Sometimes it takes them a little time to understand it. And salvation's easy. We heard that last night. But I'm not going to push them children into it. Help them to understand. I believe just sure as I stand here that if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to be convicted about your sins. If you're not convicted about your sins, you're not going to get saved. And you're going to have to be sorry for your sins. Repent of your sins. What, people are afraid of the word repentance today. I still believe in repentance.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, when I was an old sorry sinner on my way to hell, road to hell at 12 years old, I repented.
Right.
Just repented of my sins. Listen, and notice, he led the dying man to a good place. It's a time of rejoicing. But we know this about, and we heard this some, I believe, last night. Salvation of the soul is just the beginning. It's a starting point. That's why when a man goes to a church to pastor, or a missionary goes to work on the mission field as a mission pastor, or however he does it, when that man goes to the field and he gets on the field and he sees souls saved, the work just starts. Try to train and teach and grow and lead and guide and help them along the way. Listen, helping them, pointing them. If they get saved, to a Bible preacher, what's wrong today? What's happened today with people that say, oh, I got saved years ago, but they never go to church? We meet them all the time out in Louisville. And we're blessed in Louisville, Kentucky, to, you know, we can visit 200 homes and not go a half a mile. I mean, that's the way it feels. There's houses after house after house after house. Oh, yes, preacher, I'm saved. Where do you attend church? I don't go to church. But you know, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, God sure did put a burden in my heart. When he saved my soul, he put a desire in my soul. The first thing I want to do is go to the house of God. The first place I want to be is to forsake not the assembling. I want to be there, and I still do today. Right there. God did something in my heart. And yes, I realize some people need to be taught that, but we need to teach them what it means to be a New Testament Baptist church.
Amen.
Listen, I've personally met, you've met people who claim to know they're saved with no church home. The saved need, oh, I need the house of God. Don't you? I need the house of the Lord. I need to be here. The lost need to hear the gospel and be saved. But the saved need to come and just get help from God. Number five, he left the dying man with a promise. The Bible says in verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. What's a great promise. He left him after he'd taken care of him, but he left him with the assurance. I think in my mind is this, that he would go back to that dying man who had helped. He had helped and bound up his wounds and got him where he needed to be. And he would go back to him and say, listen, I've got to leave a while, but I'll be back. I'm going to be gone a while, but I'll be back. I'll be back. You know what Jesus did for you? You were the dying man. You're the one on your road to hell. Jesus went all the way to Calvary and hung on Calvary's cross for my sins and yours. Was buried, and 3 days later arose from the grave. Walked on this earth for 40 days. But when he went away, he said, I'll be back. I believe he's coming, don't you? I believe he's coming. So what a promise. What a promise. When we're able to lead somebody to the Lord, they need to learn the wonderful promises that's been given. And those who've been fed lies Well, if there's ever been a day in my life and in the ministry that I've heard people fed lies, it's today. From the government all the way down. And sadly, we can fuss at the government all day long, but people are being fed lies right inside churches today. And today, the doors of churches are being closed because of those lies. Listen, I'd like to say, oh, it's just all those other denominations that's doing that. But there's some problems inside today. Some of our fundamental Baptist churches. Because we've changed. And we started feeding people lies instead of truth. Trying to convince people that that everything they're doing is not so bad. And listen, hey, those who fed lies all their life need to know there are promises they can depend on. There's something we can trust in. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Listen, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, the greatest promise that I live on today is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowing that, hey, no matter what happens in November, and God help us not to get political, but no matter what happens in November, there's a God in heaven that's still on the throne. And he's still going to be on the throne no matter what happens. And you heard it this week. You've heard it preached already this week. This Bible makes it evidently clear that things don't look good for this world. But they sure do look good for the child of God. Those who are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today, we need to be on the lookout for the dying man. There's dying men all around us. And I was talking to a preacher just a few days ago. One of the other preachers that preached in our youth camp. And he said, "Preacher, I don't know about you, but," he said, "I don't do as good as I ought to do about reaching the lost man." Yeah. And you know, if we're honest with ourselves, as good as we do, if we think we do, we don't do very well. Right. It's so easy to walk past them. Yep. I'm talking to this preacher. Yep. It's so easy to look over them. Yep. Right. It's so easy to say, "Well, that man, it don't matter. Somebody's probably already told him. Somebody's already told her. That person already knows. That person already knows." Years ago, in South Carolina, a few years ago, probably about 5 years ago now, at the Open Door Baptist Church in Marion, South Carolina, where I pastored, there was a lady walked through the door. And I share this story a lot, but a lady walked through the door of our church. Her family came. Some of her family came to our church, but she walked through the door. And she would go up to the piano where my wife was playing the piano. And before church started, she'd go up and talk to her. And she'd say to my wife, she'd say, "Miss Beth, you know where I'm at. I'm lost. And I'm going to die and go to hell." She'd tell her that. And my wife would share the gospel with her. My wife would talk to her. And she'd just say, "You know where I'm at. I'm not saved." I thought, if anybody's ready to get saved, it should be her, because she's just telling me, and my wife, "I'm not saved." And it went on that way for weeks and weeks and months and months. And every invitation, I think, today Miss Christie's going to get saved. Today she's going to get saved. And she didn't. She didn't. And she didn't. And then on July the 7th, 5 years ago, July the 7th, my wife's birthday, 5 years ago, at the invitation, I saw Miss Christie lay down her Bible, take off her glasses, and tears were just rolling down her face. And she came to the altar. I just looked at my wife and said, "Go pray with Miss Christie." Yeah. I don't think my wife had to say much to her.
Yeah.
Why? Because all she said was, "I need to get saved."
Right.
"I need to get saved."
Amen.
"I need to give my life to the Lord."
Amen.
Hey, what if we had given up on that lady? And right before, when God called us away from that church, we had a testimony service one Wednesday night, and one of the first people to stand up was Miss Christie. She said, "Preacher, I just want to thank God for saving my soul. Thank God for saving me on July the 7th. And I said, "The greatest birthday present my wife ever got is to lead that lady to the Lord on the day of her birthday." And I thought, wow, Don't give up on them.
Right.
Don't give up on them.
Amen.
I've got family. And you've got friends. And you've got family that are lost in their sins. And they need Jesus.
Yeah.
And, I look at them sometimes and say, Lord, I don't even think you want me to go there again. Then the Holy Ghost of God says, wait just a minute.
Yep.
You need to go one more time.
Yep.
You need to try one more time.
Amen.
We can't do it, but he sure can.
Amen.
And just need to rescue the perish.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these men, these ministries, all that's going on right here. Thank you, God, so much for what you're doing across this country and across the world through many of the people that are sitting in this building. And I realize this today, God, we don't have to hang our heads. We can hold our heads high in Jesus Christ and know today that somebody's still taking the gospel message and sharing it to a world that needs to hear. Help us, God, to be faithful to it. Bless it. I pray that we might reach others in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.